Amen. Do you need a breakthrough? Okay, I guess we'll dismiss. Do you need a breakthrough? Yeah. We're going to talk about that this morning. We're going to be looking at a lady by the name of Hannah in the Old Testament. Many of you are aware that she became the mother of one of the greatest prophets of ancient Israel, the prophet Samuel. But before Samuel was born, she had a burden. She needed a breakthrough. And year after year, she cried out to the Lord. We're going to read the story this morning and catch up with what happened to Hannah. And I think we can learn some lessons from that. And why is that important today? Because there may be a number of you here this morning. You feel like you're in one of those seasons of silence. The heavens are brass. The doors are not opening. You may feel unseen, unheard, or even unimportant. But I want to assure you this morning, the Lord knows just where you are, exactly what you need, and is more than willing to come to your aid. So if you need a breakthrough, I believe as we investigate Hannah and how she responded, what happened to her, we can be encouraged to follow suit. So I'm going to be reading a little bit more scripture than I normally would, a little bit more. So take about 3 minutes or so. But please hang in there and focus and let God's Word find a dwelling place in your heart as the scripture, the Word of God, is read over you this morning. I pray even as the Word's read that those little sparks of revelation would begin to go off inside of you. That's what happens a lot of times just from reading the Word. Now, we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 1. The early verses of chapter 1, we're introduced to Elkanah. He is a man from Ephraim. He would go to Shiloh every year. And, hey, it was different back then. He had two wives. He had a wife called Hannah. She was his favorite. And the other was Peninnah. And there was this thing going on between Peninnah and Hannah that proved to be a thorn in Hannah's side. Let's drop into the story, eavesdrop on what's happening, and learn something that will help us today, okay? We're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 1. We're going to begin at verse 4. I'm going to get here where I can read it better. And it says, "And whenever the time came for Elkanah," now that's Hannah's husband, "whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah," that was one of his wives, "and to all her sons and daughters." So she had a bunch of kids. Verse 5. "But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival," that is Peninnah, "her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable." Got anyone like that in your life? "Because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she," that is Peninnah, "provoked her," that is Hannah. "Therefore, Hannah wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, 'Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons?' So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she," that is Hannah, "was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish." We are told in verse 11, "Then she made a vow and said, 'O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant,'" and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. And it happened, verse 12, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli watched her mouth. Now this tells you how discerning Eli was. Verse 13. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, how long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. Here's a key verse, verse 17. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him. He didn't even know what it was. Verse 18. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Then they rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. Then it tells about how she nursed Samuel until he was probably about 3 years old. And then we get to verse 24. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bulls, one ephah of flour and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. Then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli. He's the priest in the house of the Lord. Then we're going to jump ahead to chapter 2, verse 21, the early chapters of early verses of chapter 2. Hannah breaks out in a song, and that's really cool reading too. But when we get to verse 21, after we're told that every year she would go up and visit and make a little coat and give it to Samuel as he's growing up, but when they would go back year by year, Eli would bless them to have more children. In verse 21, we are told here, or there, so it says, and the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bore three sons and two daughters. Meanwhile, the child Samuel grew before the Lord. So he's growing up in the house of the Lord. And verse 19 and 20, big time information. Verse 19 is one of the most, is a most powerful scripture when it comes to the prophetic. Notice what it says. So Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none, notice this, let none of his words fall to the ground. What's that mean? The Lord was with Samuel, moving in him. He was maturing and growing up. He was learning to hear the voice of the Lord. When Samuel began releasing the word of the Lord watched over every one of those words, and it says, not a word fell to the ground. In other words, what he said came to pass. What he said released powerful, supernatural things happening in the lives of other people and in the nation of Israel herself. Didn't take long for word to get out. Look at chapter 3, verse 19. So Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and none of his words fell to the ground. And all Israel, here's the part I'm focusing on now, and all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. So she started out just wanting a baby boy. Penina, who was a thorn in her side, provoking her, criticizing her all the time because she was barren. I just want a baby, Lord. I want to give Elkanah a son that he's conceived with me. And she's looking at it that way, but God had a much bigger plan in mind. Because, as I mentioned in the beginning, Samuel became one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament era. Amazing story. So, are you here today in a situation similar to Hannah? It could be. There's some ladies here that want to have a baby. You haven't been able to have a baby. That's certainly very applicable. But maybe there's some barrenness in some other area of your life. Maybe financially. Or maybe you've been knocking on doors and none of them's opening. Nothing's happening. Do you need your breakthrough? I'm going to pull out three things out of the verses we've read that I see operating in Hannah's life that will encourage you today to believe God to bring your breakthrough. Amen? So let's look at the first one. With this story as our backdrop, I want to encourage you this morning, turn your pain into prayer. Turn your pain into prayer. Now, Penina, she had a lot of things to say to Hannah. The Bible says she severely provoked her year by year. This wasn't just a one-off. Penina was like, often, look at all these kids I've got. You don't have any. The Lord's blessed me. There you are. You're barren. Obviously, you probably should have never been part of Elkanah's life. I'm the one the Lord's blessing. Day in, day out, year by year, that was happening. That's how Penina was using her words to speak into the life of Hannah as a critic. Let me tell you something. You don't need to listen to your critics. You need to listen to your covenant-keeping God. We learn that from Hannah because she is pouring her heart out. This woman was a desperate woman. We see words like she agonized, she was afflicted, she had complaints, she was grieving, she had sorrow in her life. This was a burden for her. But what she did year by year, I believe every year when she went, she prayed. But something different happened on this occasion. But what we see her doing is articulating her pain in the form of prayer. Let me tell you, when the enemy rises up, a critic or someone that's always tearing you down verbally, saying things to you to cut your legs out from under you, when the enemy's voice is aimed at you and he's talking to you through someone else, when he's talking to you, you talk to God. When he aims his words at you, you aim your words at God. We see Hannah doing that. Now, what do we often do when difficulty comes and we're not getting breakthrough and it looks like people that are mean and rude, they're getting blessed and we're not and we're trying to do what God wants us to do? What do you do with that? You turn it into passionate intercession. We see that in the life of Hannah, the power of passionate intercession. She goes before the Lord with her petition. She brings her burden and lays it at the foot of the Lord, and she cries out to him, agonizingly so. Other people couldn't hear her. This was something happening deep within her, and her lips are moving. Eli thinks she's drunk. Penina's barbiner, the priest, thinks she's drunk. She's still just a praying. So I encourage you to do that. You know, a seed has life in it. The Bible teaches, the Bible says our words are like seeds. You know, we can raise a weed crop or a good harvest of something. But our words are like seeds. And when you put a seed in the ground, it's covered up with dirt. It's got all the pressure and weight of the ground on it. Sometimes the ground's compacted. It's having to work its way through some difficult, hard stuff. It'll put down some roots, and then it'll start breaking through that shell, and then pushing up through that ground till finally it breaks through and the sun, the light hits it, and that's when the good stuff really starts happening. In a similar way, when you're in difficult situations and the weight of life and the weight of all your circumstances are pressing down on you, it's important that you get anchored in the Lord, get rooted in Him, and then you become a passionate intercessor, knowing that as you pray, particularly as you pray the promises of God, was she able to do that? The Lord said, be fruitful and multiply. Obviously, that would be His plan for her. You start praying those promises and until ultimately there's that breaking out moment. And Hannah did that. She turned her pain into prayer. Is your pain driving you to prayer? Or are you like to talk to the people work about how bad your problems are? And there's a place to share our burdens with others. Honestly, there is. You know, to sometimes vent to a friend and then let them speak life into your life and so forth. But do you tend to be more of a person that you're just sharing all the stuff with everybody else, and that's voluminous, a whole bunch of it, and there's very little passionate intercession where you're going before the Lord? I encourage you, turn your pain into prayer. Now, Peninnah, she was an accuser. Hannah chose to be an intercessor. She's a prayer warrior. You know, in the garden there were two trees, the tree of life. That's where the life of God was available from eating the fruit of that tree, and Adam and Eve could eat of it. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that was off limits. The moment they ate that fruit and sin came, they became accusers. Adam accused Eve. It's her fault. Eve accused the serpent. It's the serpent's fault. You see that accusation. The Bible tells us that old serpent, Satan, the devil, in the book of Revelation, he is the accuser of the brethren. And so the enemy will try to recruit you to join him in his ministry of accusation. But I'm telling you, the Spirit of God will recruit you, will call you to the ministry of interceding, going before the Lord on behalf of others or with your own burden. Instead of becoming an accuser and slandering, well, God must not love me. He must not care about me. I don't believe God's in this. I don't know about the Bible. It doesn't seem to work for me. You are operating in a wrong spirit. You need to get back in that tree of life and release words of life, the promises of God, the goodness of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. Turn your pain into prayer. So important. In the early days after we were out of seminary, I was pastoring in Northwest Mississippi, and actually I was called to a church that had gone through a recent split. A division, and it really tore the church up. And the Lord called me to go there, and I knew what I was stepping into, but we felt strongly it was the Lord. And a lot of healing started occurring, but among the church members, and we started to grow. We started seeing a lot of people come to the Lord, and the church was being blessed. But it was a very high maintenance environment to minister in, and it was very stressful. Particularly for a season there, very stressful. As a matter of fact, one time it was so weighty on me, I wasn't being home as much as I should have been. It's constantly stuff I was having to be involved in. And I remember one time curling up in the kitchen floor of that little five-room wood frame house we were in. We had a heavy financial burden on us, and a lot of ministerial stress on our lives. I remember laying on the floor, and Mickey can attest to this. I actually looked at a baseball bat in the corner. I said, I wish you'd just take that and hit me in the head and at least knock me out for a little bit. I was having so much pain in my chest and in my abdomen. Ended up going to the Baptist East Hospital in Memphis. They did an arteriogram on me, and the doctor came into the room, started asking me about questions. What do you do? Tell me a little bit about your lifestyle. And I'm not even 35 years old. And he said, well, young man, let me tell you something. You listen to me. If you don't change the way you're doing things, you're not going to live very long, because stress is going to kill you. And that really was a wake-up call. During that time, I was working on my doctoral degree, and I hadn't gotten much of that work done. I had a 2-year window that I was trying to conclude that in, that it needed to conclude it in. And it was just overwhelming. So I started trying to go before the Lord. Should have known better, but I wasn't doing this as I should have been. I remember going before the Lord and just laying my heart out. I would journal everything I felt, and then I would pray through that, and I'd say, Lord, you've got to help me with this. This is more than I can do. I can't handle this. I can't fix this. I can't fix that. There's nothing I can do about that. And just all these things, I just started bringing them before Him. And I remember the place I was standing in our little living room the Spirit of the Lord, I know how to articulate this now better than I did in those days, but I know now it was the Spirit of the Lord that came upon me, because it was just like this blanket came upon me, and from within it was like this surge of strength and internal motivation just rose up within me. And I remember standing there saying, I can do all things through Christ. God, you've got this. You can handle this. You'll give me the grace to deal with this. And I just started receiving that and praying into that. The next thing I know, I was energized. It was like a shell had been broken off to me. It's like I rolled up my sleeves. I got busy over the next 18 months. I did over 900 pages of project work to finish my doctoral degree. And it was just amazing. Now, there were still very difficult circumstances, a very difficult situation. But by basically turning that pain into prayer, I experienced a breakthrough that enabled me to move through that season. And I thank God for that. I thank God for that. And if you're here today, I encourage you, prayer works. And I'm not talking about intellectually reciting a prayer. I'm talking about you get raw and real with the Lord and pour your heart out. You pour your guts out to God, knowing, as we sing, He loves you. There's no end to His affections for you. Brother Roger shared Psalm 86 with me earlier. We read it in my office about in the Old Testament, the Lord was declaring, I'm full of compassion. I've got abundant mercy. I'm gracious. That's who He is. That's who you need. He's the one that can help you today to get your breakthrough. Turn, become a passionate intercessor. Second thing, I want to encourage you, choose to give God what He chooses to give you. There's no telling how many times Hannah prayed asking for a son, asking for a child. She wanted a boy to continue that family lineage. No telling how many times, year by year she went. But this day, what changed? Well, there was a new level of seriousness that came. Like, I'm going to put some skin in this game. Lord, if you will give me a male child, I'll give him back to you. No razor will ever touch his head. I'm more of a Nazarite vow. Hannah came to the place where she would take her plan, her dream that she had, if she had a child, what it was going to look like. She turned away from that and just said, Lord, give me the child, and I'll give him back to you, and I'll trust you. I'll trust you to raise him. I'll trust his life with you. I'll take my hands off of him, and you can have him. Now, that's a word for somebody here today struggling with a child. When I say take your hands off of him, that doesn't mean you're not loving, you're not helping, or you're not there. I'm talking about realizing God will handle your child better than you can. Place your child in the hands of the Lord. That job, you keep banging on the door, wanting that better job. Give the one you've got to the Lord. Ask Him to bless it. Often we want to hold everything with clenched fists and clutch it. And really the secret is to give to God what He chooses to give to you. I remember Mickey and me, the young pastor that was our pastor when I was called into the ministry, he was called to the foreign mission field, and I remember him standing up to the congregation. And I do remember people in the church saying things like, I can't believe he's going to carry his kids off to Africa. I don't know why in the world somebody would do that. I can't believe. What's wrong with him? I remember him standing behind the pulpit and saying, listen, I want everybody to know that I believe my children will be better off in Africa in the will of God than they would if they stayed here with us in America out of the will of God. We're going to Africa. See, that's the kind of thinking we got to have. He's in charge. He owns it all anyway. We are just stewards. When you get blessed, you bless God with what the blessing He blessed you with. There's times when you give away what you need, because God responds to that. Choose to give God what He chooses to give you. You are simply saying, Lord, I'm going to trust You with this. You can handle it better than I can. And He can, and He will. And notice that scripture there. She made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if You will, then I will. This is not bargaining. Because we have funny ideas sometimes comes to prayer. Reminds me of the little guy that his birthday was coming up and he wanted a red bicycle. Wanted it really badly. And somebody suggested, well, you just need to put that on your prayer list and ask God to give you a red bicycle for your birthday. So he goes upstairs and he starts writing him a letter. Dear God, I've been a good boy. I've made good grades. I've done my chores. I would love to have a red bicycle for my birthday. Thank you. He looked at that and he thought, I don't know if that's going to work because that's maybe I'm stretching that. So he rewrites it. He says, Dear Lord, I've been a pretty good boy and I've done some of my chores and I've made pretty good grades. I'd like that red bicycle. Then he thought, I'm still stretching it. So he had one more go. He said, Dear God, I really hadn't been that good, to be honest with you. And my grades aren't what they ought to be. And I sure hadn't been doing too good of job on my chores. But I'd still like a bicycle. But he just couldn't leave. He couldn't stay in that place. He wadded it up, threw it in the trash pan. Then an idea. He runs into the attic where the Christmas decorations are stored. He finds that nativity set. He gets the Virgin Mary, wraps it up in some tissue, puts it in his back pocket, comes back to his room. Then he writes it, writes another letter. Dear Lord, I got your mama. If you ever want to see her again, send the red bicycle. Hey, a lot of times when you pull the blanket back, that's kind of how we're operating. We want to manipulate and bargain and work things around. That's not what Hannah's doing here. Hannah's saying, Lord, if you bless me, if you were to bless me with a child, he's yours. All the dreams and plans I had for the child, no, he's yours. And it worked. And that brings me to the third thing that I want to say to you. Lay down your burden and live with a settled faith. Now let's jump on this quickly. Look at here. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. You know why she's saying that? Because Eli had just said, okay, may the God of Israel grant your request. She got a word from God. He was the high priest. So he was speaking on behalf of the Lord. He was representing the Lord to the people. He said, may the Lord grant your request. She received that word like the Virgin Mary did, told the angel, may it be done unto me according to your word. You see, she got a confirmation. This was different than any other year. Now she's made a vow to the Lord, a vowed commitment. He's yours. When that happened, Eli thought she was drunk when all that got straightened out. You know, God can God can work through messed up people. Eli was, he wasn't a top shelf high priest. And he had two sons that were causing all kind of trouble in the house of the Lord. But he said, may the Lord God of Israel, may he grant your request. It's like a declaring that over her life. She received it in her heart. And notice what it says there. She went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. She got her smile back. After all this time, she got her smile back. She still wasn't pregnant. She hasn't conceived yet. It's like she knows it's done. She knows it's done. How many of you use Amazon? Probably most of us, right? I mean, know how to use Amazon? You can go on there. You can do it. Well, it's not just Amazon now. Most of the big stores, you can do this. You go on there, and you can place an order. And then it'll tell you, all right, it's been received. It's being processed. They'll give you a tracking number. And you get that tracking number. You can pull up and see right where it is in process. That's cool. Be neat to have one of those in the spirit realm, wouldn't it? But it kind of works that way because this was happening to Hannah. She's been praying. She's putting in her order. The desire of her heart, may the Lord of Israel grant your request. Oh, it's been delivered. It's now being processed. She ate, got her smile back, and went home, and her and Elkanah got in the baby-making business, and she got pregnant over a process of time and had her baby boy. And she honored her side of the bargain, if you will. She brought him back after he was about 3 years old and gave him to Eli. Now, I don't think Eli and his sons would have passed the questionnaires that would be in place in our world today. But she had a word from the Lord. There's times you just have to trust God. The situation may look messy. There may be no evidence that anything's changed. But when you get that rhema, when you get that confirming word from the Word. And Eli was an Old Testament priest under a covenant that's not nearly as good as ours. Now we got a new covenant. It is based on better promises. And we have got a great high priest who is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, who ever lives to make intercession for us, who says, I know your weaknesses. I know what's going on in your life. Hey, here's Father's throne room. Come on up here in prayer, and you'll find you some grace, and you'll find you some mercy to help you in your time of need. I'm telling you, in your place of pain that you may be in today, in the place where you're needing breakthrough, you go to prayer, you be a passionate intercessor. You get serious about committing yourself to do it God's way. That is a vowed commitment. And then you get in the Word and you pray. There will come a time when you start getting a confirmation. It may come in different ways, but you know, oh, this is God. This is God. Then that's settled. You get your smile back. She didn't have to spend any more time in that altar crying out to God. She had been heard. She got her tracking number, and all she had to do was wait on it to be delivered. Have you ever had something like that in your life? I've had that happen a number of times. When you pray, but then one time you pray, and then the peace of God that passes all understanding. You don't understand why I should have this peace. Circumstance hadn't changed. Everything looks just the same. But now I have this supernatural peace. I'm not being anxious. I'm not worrying. It's like you're walking down the hallway, and the door hadn't yet opened, and you're just fine with that because you know it's going to open. That's the peace. He said, peace to you. The Lord of Israel grant your request. And Holy Spirit, now, as the Spirit who glorifies Jesus, our high priest, he will help you have that peace. But your part is to get in that altar before the Lord, if you will, in the Word. And by the Spirit and by the Word, get into that place. You get that settled faith about a situation. I don't think you just take a Bible verse and start shouting it. Like, it's got to happen now because I'm saying it. I believe Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. That word is powerful. But listen, I have found you get those promises, you're in a situation, what God will begin to do is highlighting one of those promises. You know what I'm saying? It's like a window opens over it, and you're reading it. Well, that sounds just like what I'm going through. What? Yeah. Okay, Lord, I hear you. You're saying now that promise is for this circumstance and the time is now. That's my rhema. It's settled. Done. And you can be in peace. During the process, in a process of time, she conceived and bore a child. But she got her smile back before she and Elkanah ever knew each other again, and got her smile back before she ever became pregnant, before the child was born. Why? She had a settled faith. Our whole nation experienced this in July of 1863. Our worship team's coming. And while they come, I want to share with you another Abraham Lincoln story. I'm going to read it to you. This has to do with the battle at Gettysburg. The Southern troops were winning victories. They were closing in closer to D.C. They were in Pennsylvania at Gettysburg. And it was a fierce battle. They were receiving news. It wasn't looking good. Lincoln was president. Christian man, believed the Bible. His parents met at the Cane Reach Revival. This is what President Lincoln said. Now, he shares this later, after this. He shares this story with one of the generals who lost a leg in Gettysburg. He went to visit him. He was brought to D.C. after the battle. And he goes and visits with this general and tells this story. And it's recorded by another general who was present in a book that he wrote. Listen to what Lincoln said. This is when Gettysburg was happening. He was having to decide. He said, "In the pinch of the campaign up there, when everybody seemed panic-stricken and nobody could tell what was going to happen, oppressed by the gravity of our affairs, I went to my room one day and I locked the door." This is our president. "And got down on my knees before Almighty God and prayed to Him mightily for victory at Gettysburg. I told Him that this was His war and our cause His cause, but we couldn't stand another Fredericksburg or Chancellorsville. And I then and there made a solemn vow to Almighty God that if He would stand by our boys at Gettysburg, I would stand by Him. And He did stand by your boys." He's talking to that general who lost his leg. "And He did stand by your boys, and I will stand by Him." Then he says this. Well, he said it, but he's not saying it right now. It disappeared, but I remember what he said. He said after that, after he prayed in that room, he said while he was there, that there was a sweet peace and presence that came upon him. He said, "I can't even explain to you how that it happened or how it felt." He said, "But I knew in that moment, then and there, that everything was going to turn out for us at Gettysburg, that God was at work." And it did. It was a 3-day battle, and you can read accounts of it. Like, it's miraculous how it turned, how God worked and how it turned to give them the victory. And our nation, history records that the Civil War turned around at that juncture. today could be a day when things turn around for you. Just as Lincoln got on his knees at an altar in his bedroom. Just as Hannah found an altar outside the temple. There's an altar up here this morning. I want you to stand with me. And I believe there's some people you need to spend some time at the altar. I'm going to ask our prayer team members to join those who are coming that may want to pray. Let's just all pray at the altar for a moment. Even our prayer team members, just come up and begin to intercede. Can we agree together at Grace House this morning that we're about to step into a season where we're going to see massive breakthroughs? Signs, wonders, miracles, unemployed people getting good paying jobs, sick people being made well, marriages that are on the brink restored, prodigals that are away from the Lord coming home. Can we believe that we're on the precipice of a season of breakthrough? Can all of us join together in prayer for just a few moments here this morning and cry out to the Lord, would you come? Those of you that may feel you can pray right where you are. But I think this would be a good time to either kneel or be seated. And let's just pray a moment. And Pastor Doc, if you could get that mic there. And Miss June, if you would join him up here as our grandparents here in the house. Let's just all agree with them in prayer that we are stepping into a season of breakthrough. This could be your breakthrough. Pour out your heart to the Lord. Lord, we are asking this morning that you will remove the barriers in our thinking. Forgive us for being bargainers. Help us to be more passionate in our intercession, more serious in our commitment. Help us, oh Lord, to get those into that place of knowing that we know because we've got a word from you. In Jesus' name. Pastor Doc.
Lord Jesus, like Hannah of old, we've carried this long enough. And this morning, Lord, we're believing for breakthrough. We're coming, Lord, to the foot of the cross, to an empty tomb, to a Jesus that said every promise is yes and amen. And Lord, we are bringing what we've been carrying and leaving it with you, believing right now, Lord, in the Spirit, you're going to impregnate a body of believers with breakthrough, Lord. This morning, we will leave knowing with a smile on our face that the God of heaven has not turned a deaf ear, but has turned his face toward us. And we cry out, oh God, in the name of Jesus, we bring this burden, we bring this problem, we bring this barrenness. And oh God, today, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, we claim breakthrough, Lord. Breakthrough in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Claim your breakthrough. Claim it. Step into it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for the hope that's been released today, Father, because of the word that was given. We thank you that you bring to us, Lord God, what we need in those times of difficulty and trouble, in those times of disappointment and pain, Father, and loss in our life. We thank you, Lord. There are answers because you are our answer, Lord. We thank you, Father, for those that reach out to you, Lord. You promised, Father God, that there would be help. You said, Lord, that you were there. We could come boldly to your throne. In those times when we needed help, when we have a time of need and we can ask you, Lord, and you're willing to listen, you're willing to hear, you're willing, Father God, to move on our behalf because we've asked and we believe. I can remember the times, Lord, through the Word, where you were asked something and you said, I will. I will. If you can heal this one, I'll speak to this dead one. I will do that. I will touch this one that has leprosy. I will raise that one up. I will heal the woman with the issue of blood. I will hear your cries. I will come to you as the light, as the one who is able to do all things. I will do what you ask. For you, I said, you have not because you ask not. So come to me and ask, and you will receive.
And for those, Lord, who have loved ones that are not saved yet, Lord Jesus, you said in your word that the God of this world had blinded their eyes. So we are decreeing, declaring breakthrough, that darkness is being lifted. Conviction is being granted and repentance is coming, O Lord. And for those that have wandered away, for those that have backslidden, Lord, as 1 John 5:6 said, if you see a brother sin or sin not unto death, Lord, we call the backslidden home. This morning, lost loved ones, we say, come home, come home, come home where you belong, in the name of Jesus.
Would please stand, and our prayer team members can stand. If there are others that have other prayer needs, you need someone to agree with you in prayer, we have these at the altar that will be happy to pray with you. Feel free to linger up here or come on up if you still need to come. Thank you for being here today. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be yours in abundance this week. Hide this word in your heart. Let's press in and expect great things from our Lord. Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand? Thank you for being here today. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. This altar's open if you need prayer.